Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I'm warning you, I'm seriously stressed out here.
My nervousness exists on several levels.
Stress can be positive because it gives you energy.
You know what's wrong with you? You're a nervous wreck.
Oh, Lord, I'm on the verge of a nervous meltdown.
I'm Jim Burns. It's a fact that too many of us are stressed out much of the time, and the breathless pace of modern life has left many of us feeling overwhelmed and, frankly, under the gun 24/7. Just the mention of the word stress...
I'm warning you, I'm seriously stressed out here.
...can make your stress level rise. However, it's important to realize that some stress is actually good for us. The key to keeping your stress level under control is to discover ways to manage it. During the next half hour, I'll talk with popular author and speaker Deborah Smith-Pagay about learning to control the stress in your life. Now, I realize that your schedule might be so jam-packed today that you might feel as though you don't have time to listen to this conversation. But if that is really the case, then I believe that is exactly the reason you need to stay tuned. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, with 52 undergraduate majors, 40 master's degrees, 14 certificates, 10 credentials, and 9 doctoral programs, APU has a relevant degree program for you if you are interested in pursuing your education with Azusa Pacific University, if you have a son or daughter who might be interested in enrolling for the fall. We encourage you to look them up online, and you can do so very easily. Go to homeward.com if you're not there already, find the APU link, and go ahead and click onto it. Today on the program, we're going to talk about stress and how important it is for us to learn how to manage it. We can't avoid it altogether, but Deborah Smith-Pagay is with us to talk about learning to control the stress in your life. And now here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is going to be a great day. We're talking about learning to control the stress in your life. Do you have any stress in your life? I know at times in our family, we sure do. Deborah Smith-Pagay is with us. She's a popular conference speaker, prolific author of lots of great books, MBA in finance from the University of Southern California, Go Trojans. For the last 8 years, she was the chief financial officer for the West Angeles Church of God in Christ, an incredible church in the Los Angeles area, married to her husband, Darnell, for over 27 years. And they live in Los Angeles. Welcome to our program.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you. I've admired your work for years.
Well, I've been looking forward to it myself. And you've written a new book called 30 Days to Taming Your Stress. And you know what? I read this book and I felt kind of less stressed just by reading it. It's really practical, very, very helpful. We've heard it said that the only two things in life that are certain are death and taxes. You seem to suggest that we should add a third to
that's
the list,
right.
And that stress.
Stress is inevitable, and that's why I entitled the book Taming the Stress rather than Eliminating the Stress.
Right. Well, even some stress is good. I mean, some stress causes some adrenaline. They'll say that in
Absolutely. Athletics
and things like that. At the same time, we are a generation who is way too much filled with stress,
that's
overcommitted,
it.
Underconnected. It's really affecting every aspect of our life, isn't it?
And it really is, and it affects everybody. Nobody is exempt from it. I say it's like the weather. When it rains, it's going to rain on everybody.
Right. Right. And you talk about taming, but it's not possible to eliminate stress, is it?
No, because it's just the pressures of living, and that's what the book is about, how to deal with the pressures of life, whether they're emotional pressures or financial pressures. There's just pressure in living everyday life. And as you said, stress can be positive because it gives you energy.
Right.
And if a bear is chasing you, you don't want to be that calm. You want to gear up to run or to fight or do something.
Exactly. And there are some people who feel like bears are running after them, whether it be finances, whether it be their relationship with their spouse, whether it be children who maybe aren't turning out the way that they had hoped or prayed that it would. Now, at the beginning, you talk about the fact that we need to identify our stressors. Now, your stressors may be different than my stressors, but sometimes we're not even in touch with what those stressors are. What did you do?
Well, what I did was I had so many things going on in my life until I just decided that I would sit down and make a list of everything that was stressing me. I listed the job. I listed the fact that I have a mother who is emotionally challenged with dementia. What was surprising is that it wasn't the job that was stressing me. It was some other things. And so when I say identify your stressors, because the goal is to identify them and then to really really began to categorize them into things that I can do something about versus things I can't do anything about.
Right. And the things you can't do anything about, well, you just have to say, you know what, this is a part of how I'm living. This is a part of who I am. This is a part, we're going to live with these stressors. Certain things you can do something about.
That's right. And that's why I like that prayer that the Alcoholics Anonymous pray.
Yeah.
Give me the courage to change the things that I can. And so I call it the grace to accept the things that I can and the wisdom to know the difference.
Right.
And so when I made my list, I said, okay, I can change this or I can bring some kind of pressure to bear on that and change
right.
it. And I think when we have that truth in the inward parts and we decide right. we're going to be true to ourselves, and you have to have the courage to change.
Yeah.
Because it could be that you're pursuing a lifestyle or something that it really isn't good for your stress level, isn't good for the quality of life, and you're going to have the courage to change.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. At the same time, there are things. You mentioned your mom having an illness. You can't change the illness. So how do you then deal with the stress in your life that an illness of a loved one or something that really you have no control over? What do you do in that?
That's when I go to my spiritual foundation. Hmm. I have to believe that God is working everything out for my good. And that's why the second thing I talk about in the book is secure your foundation, because you can't live apart from God. And you have to understand that whatever is happening in your life, He has you covered. He really does. He has you covered, and He'll give me the peace. And so what I've done, the Lord has given me peace on dealing with my mother. I know that I can create an environment. I can have people come in, but I know that I can't cure her. And so in my head, I draw this big circle. I have my circle of concern, and I have my circle of influence. And everything in my circle of concern, I can't influence it. So I look at the things, and I try to know the difference. Can I influence this? I can do the best I can to give her the quality care. But beyond that, I have to realize that I can't handle that. I mean, I can't impact that. So I say, Lord, it's in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it really works. You have to be able to do that. And that requires the grace of God to do
that. No, it does. And you call that the secure your foundation,
yes.
another point. One of the things that I smiled about was the issue of sleep. You actually talk about a very practical side to it, you know, that how a lack of sleep factors an increase in stress in a big way. I would say most people are somewhat sleep deprived, or at least they're dangerously tired.
Oh, we all are. We all are, because we're trying to do too much. Or most of us who haven't learned to, quote, tame our stress, because sleep isn't just a passive process. There are things that happen while you're asleep. There are certain cells that are restored. And so we have to understand that you'll get into a vicious cycle if you don't sleep, because the lack of sleep is stressful.
Yeah, I'm stressed out not sleeping. You know, I'm saying, it was 4:30 the other day, Roger, and I'm asleep. And then I wake up, and now I'm stressed because I can't go back to sleep, you know. But yet what you're saying, and I'm saying this to families all the time, your children need more sleep.
Yes.
And in fact, you need more sleep. In fact, some people have said, obviously pray, but sleep first and then pray.
You know, because sleep is more important than food.
Right.
You can go longer without food than you can without sleep.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I want to talk to you about food, because I'm going to admit this on radio, hundreds of thousands of people now, but when I'm stressed, I will go to chocolate. You know, Cindy in my office has this little chocolate, I think it's Satan's way of you know, just approaching me, because if I'm under stress, I will just find myself taking that chocolate. And not that eating a piece of chocolate is bad, but shoving lots of chocolate and having it dripping off of my face probably isn't good. And you have an interesting kind of acronym for the issue of stress that you call desserts. Talk about that.
Well, I said stress spelled backwards is desserts. But see what happens, the reason we reach for the sugar, because notice you don't reach for a carrot or a chicken leg.
No, my wife would like me to, but no way.
Because it gives us the energy. It raises our blood sugar level really high and we feel better. The body really wants to be restored through rest, but we're giving it something it's not asking for. And so when we understand that that's what's happening, then we need to understand that we need to reach for something that's going to have a little bit more lasting effect than the sugar, which will spike your energy levels. Just like when a diabetic goes into a coma, you put sugar in his mouth and all of a sudden he's revived.
Right.
Well, but it's going to drop you later and it's just going to become a vicious cycle. Now you need more sugar to get back up there.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people who have weight issues really have stress issues.
Oh, absolutely.
If they could reduce their stress, it would probably change the way that they deal with their weight issues.
Well, because stress causes your body to generate this hormone called cortisol, and it goes straight to your midsection. That's what happens.
Right.
It causes you to gain weight around your midsection.
Exactly. So. You know, we're talking about learning to control the stress in your life with Deborah Pigay. And the interesting side to it, Deborah, is, you know, a lot of times families say, but you don't understand my situation. It is out of control. It's not me. It's my husband. It's my wife. It's my kids. It's the rent. It's this or that. What I am reading throughout your book, 30 Days to Taming Your Stress, is basically you can make a decision for yourself that can change the way you look at things.
Absolutely. And that is the key, is not to look outside of yourself, but to really look at your own behavior and say, how am I impacting my stress level? What is it that I can do to change this? What is it within my circle of influence? And so that's why I don't look outside of myself. If something is going on, then I need to look at the person who's stressing me or the situation that is stressing me. And I have to be willing to make that change. And I keep saying the alcoholic's prayer that they pray is because you have to have courage to change. And a lot of times we're trying to do too much. We're maybe working too many jobs because we want too much stuff because everybody else around us has all the stuff. I like what the Bible talks about being don't be conformed to this world, but being transformed. Trans means across. Sometimes you have to go across the grain of what everybody else is doing so that you can get your life back in balance.
Great input. You know, the truth is that you may have to go against the grain of the culture, if you would, and make that right decision. But you know what? Stress is in some ways is becoming a disease. It's at epidemic stages, and we don't have to be afraid to make those transitions to get off the stress highway, and we can do something about it. And we'll be back. More to come on Homeward. Don't go away. We're talking about learning to control the stress in your life.
And fortunate, Jim, to have Deborah Smith Pagay with us. She's written so many practical books, and they all kind of give us a blueprint for making some positive and necessary changes in our lives within a very short time period. We're talking about learning to control the stress in your life today here on the program. Deborah's written a book called 30 Days to Taming Your Stress, and it's up on our Facebook, and it's up on our Homeward website as well. If you want to go to homeward.com, if you're not there already, hit the radio broadcast tab, and then you can find the schedule there. It has a link to her site, or you can just Google it. We encourage you here at Homeward to take advantage of the resources that we make available to you in our online resource center. Many of them are without cost, like our daily online devotional. We call it our Evotional. It's a Bible verse and a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff here at Homeward. And you can start your free subscription today at homeward.com. Doesn't cost you a thing. Just go to HOMEWORD.com. Follow the prompts for the daily online devotional. And now, with the conclusion of today's edition of Homeward, here once again is Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. What a good day to talk about stress. In fact, I have spent the last, 9 minutes or so talking with you, Deborah. I feel less stress right now. I mean, this is a good thing. Learning to control the stress in your life with Deborah Smith Pagay. She's written a great book called 30 Days to Taming Your Stress. I recommend it. And one of the issues that probably most of our listeners have when it comes to stress is they think about finances. You know, financial friction is a big deal. It causes people to divorce. You're a CPA, but also I think you can give us some real hope in this.
Absolutely. You see, financial friction is the number one cause of divorce. And what we found in our research and in studying is that the cause of the friction is the failure to agree on what the priorities are going to be in the marriage when it comes to marriage. But even outside of marriage, most people live above their means. As the country goes, so go the individuals. Right. And we find that even in church, and as George Barna has done his research, and the average person only gives, the only like 6% of the Christians tithe or whatever. Right. So it's that people don't have enough money, but they don't have enough money for the most part because we're living a lifestyle that's above. And again, we're conforming to the world.
Yeah.
And I quit my job last year, last April. It was the biggest decision I've made. But I was trying to write books and speak and trying to carry that job, working 10, 12-hour days. It was crazy to do that. We decided, my husband, it was really his idea. He said, you need to come off of that job. Let's scale back and let's let you do what God is calling you to do. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that when you walk in your purpose, there's no stress. As I study the life of Jesus, I can't find one instance where he was stressed.
Isn't that interesting? Now, let me go back to a phrase you just said, because it struck me. When you walk in your purpose, there's going to be less stress. There are some people who are driving on the road and went, wow, I need to write that down. Talk about that.
Well, you know, when I was reading, and I don't want to quote too many scriptures, but when I was reading the life of Jesus, the last prayer that he prayed, he says, Father, I have brought glory to you here on earth. I've done everything you told me to do, everything you told me to do, meaning I'm only going to do what I'm supposed to be doing. And when you're out of purpose, when you're doing things because somebody else wanted you to do, you don't even want to do it yourself. Maybe your wife wants you to go back to school and get that degree because all of her friends' husbands have degrees or whatever.
Right.
Then you look at that and you say, is this what God is calling me to do? When we stay in our purpose, we're not a misfit. We're not a misfit. We're in our purpose. I want to refer to a show that I saw on Oprah where they grew a man's ear on his forehead because he was born without an ear. And then they finally transferred it after it was grown. And it wasn't a touched up photo. The man was there. And the thing was, it looked out of place because that's how we look when we have a part that's out of place. We're out of place in life when we're not in our place with our function, with our purpose.
Well, you know, it makes so much sense. And one of the other aspects that you talk about is how important it is to manage our stress by having value system, by kind of the spiritual health factor.
Yes.
It seems to me that a lot of times people, even people who are listening to a program like this, will say, sure, I need to walk in my purpose, but, you know, I'm kind of out of step with God. What suggestion would you give to them?
If you're out of step with God, is to get before Him. He said He will guide you. If you acknowledge the Lord, He'll direct your path. You need to find out, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? What would you have me to do? And usually that starts with what you have a passion for. You know, a lot of times we do things for the money, but I'm determined that we really could live off of less. I know we think that we need as much money as we do, but when I quit my job last year in April, gave up six figures, I'm like, have I lost my mind? You can't take this much money out of a household and expect things to flow, and things have flowed because God will do that when you walk in obedience. But to get back to this issue of money causing friction, most families don't have a spending plan. They're not aware of what it costs to operate on a monthly basis. There's a wrong mindset about the money. The people in the marriage feels like if the person who makes the most money should have the most say, the most power. See, all of those are contrary to the will of God. Whatever comes into a marriage belongs to the marriage. If both parties are going to work, everybody owns the money. Even if one party works, everybody owns the money. So it's a matter of looking at those financial priorities and being honest and integral, being generous. Those are all factors that will cause you not to be stressed because you know you've obeyed. And but even if it looks like the ends won't meet,
yeah,
God makes it meet.
Yeah, and one of the things you just said is you also have to have a plan. I have a quote right out of your book. Write out your daily plan, submit it before the Lord, and then set out to accomplish one task at a time.
Yes.
That really is a way of helping de-stress your life. If you have the plan, you're working the plan.
Absolutely. And see, we found that multitasking is bad. We thought it was great. We thought if we could be like an octopus and do
right.
it several things at a time.
Right.
You know what? Anytime you're diluting that much energy, you're not doing something well.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's good to write out a schedule and not to put too many major activities on that schedule. What can I get done? You don't need to have five different appointments that require a significant investment of time. You need to just do one thing at a time.
Yeah. You know, I'm one of these people who write out a plan. I even, if I did something and I didn't have it written down, I write it down so I can cross it out. I probably need help in that area, but that is a big thing. Now, I've got a very special friend in my life who will write out a plan, but then they just lose the plan.
Oh.
They write out the paper, they lose the plan. Their life is spontaneous. Further in your book, you talk about the flexibility, how flexibility is so key.
Yes.
And yet, how do you plan at the same time be flexible?
Well, you're flexible when the plans don't happen the way you set out, because a lot of times that plan was really something that was born out of just a desire I had and not necessarily God's wisdom for me to do today. Yeah. And so you have to learn to be flexible. When I was managing people, I hated it when a mother had to be sick or take a child. And my husband finally said, he said, you know, life happens and you have to learn to be flexible with that because you can't control if people's kids get sick or whatever the deal is. And so what I've learned to do is to flex, is to say, okay, I'll flow with this because my way isn't necessarily the only way. And what I found was that in being so rigid, I was the one who was the most stressed.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? I see that
yes.
in our home.
Yes.
You know, we'll get frustrated with our kids. They're not stressed at all. And Kathy and I are stressed over something they should be stressed
yes.
at. And we're going, what, you know, something's wrong here. But a lot of times it's because we get our focus off.
Well, I like what you just said about should, because a lot of people live in shouldsville.
Right, exactly.
Things should happen up here. I can tell you should will keep you stressed.
Exactly.
Should will keep you stressed. And so sometimes you just got to look at that and say, you know, what's real for now? What would flow best?
Yeah.
Because we want to walk in peace. I mean, and we can do that.
Right.
We don't have to walk in anxiety and frustration because frustration comes from those unmet expectations.
Yeah.
And when we begin to just kind of relax that a little bit,
boy,
life is going to be a
that
lot
That does
less
make stressful. A lot of sense. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but I'm sure that as some of our people are listening, there's a mom or a dad out there who is saying right now, I need to change. I don't know that I can do all this at once, but I need to change. What would you say is a good first step for them?
Well, first step is identify your number one stressor, whether it's your children. Maybe you need to look at that and say, now, can I set better boundaries? What am I not doing? Am I not planning? What am I not doing? If I have boundaries, do they have consequences? Or am I just wanting to be my child's friend? And so I'm allowing things to happen that's causing me to be really angry and resentful. We have to look inwardly and say, what am I doing that either perpetuates this or creates it? What can I do? Do I have the courage to change? Because I can do it. I can do it. I just have to make a decision.
Boy, that's a great comment. And we need to have the courage to change. And some of us need to pray for that courage and then do it one day at a time, 1 hour at a time. And if you can't do it alone, then there are people that you can go to get help. And one would actually be Call Homeward if you have a need. Our counselors will be there for you and can help you kind of walk through that issue. Deborah, you got to come back next time so we can keep talking.
Excellent.
great. Deborah Smith Pagay is with us, and we're talking about her book, 30 Days to Taming Your Stress.
So practical, Jim. I know that Deborah's written a lot of books like this, and it's great to have this conversation, too, because we hear from so many listeners. We hear from moms, we hear from dads, we hear from grandparents, even from kids, college students, saying, the stress level is really getting to me. What do I do? We have resources here at Homeward.com. If you go to the articles and media section, you can kind of de-stress a little bit. Just the keyword search there, it says get answers in a little box. Just type in stress, and you'll find a number of different articles and tip sheets, video clips, and more. And everything in the articles and media section is available without cost. Just want to stress that. There's no subscription fee. And Jim, one of the things that Deborah mentioned in her book, I love the way she describes stress, is saying it's like the weather. I mean, you can't prevent it. It's just going to happen. And that's something that we need to come to terms with.
You know, it is everywhere, and it's not going to go away. So instead of saying, I just want the stress to go away, I think we have to work through the stress and actually make some real proactive and intentional decisions. Somebody was asking me the other day, what do you do to deal with the stress in your life? Because, you know, there's stress here at Homeward, and, you know, in many ways. And I said, I walk the dog. And they started laughing, just like you're doing, Roger. You know what? I do that. And I do that most days. And we have this golden retriever. His name is Hobie.
Yeah.
And Hobie is named after a surfboard, actually. Not that he looks like a surfboard, but you know, it's crazy because good old Hobie and I, we actually get in the car. We could walk out our door and go to a park, but we get in the car, we drive about a mile to where we have a harbor, not our own personal harbor, but Hobie thinks it is.
May as well be.
The Dana Point Harbor. It's a beautiful place here in California. And we walk the dog. In fact, I go to the same place. I park in the same parking spot every day. I walk past the Narcotics Anonymous group and the Alcoholics Anonymous group. I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I know faces. I see the people who are going to go out in a kayak. I recognize those people. And then I walk. And even when I walk, there are same people who do this little walk. And most of them we kind of tease because they're a little bit older than me, perhaps.
Right.
And they kind of know my dog's name. And we have this, you know, hello relationship. But I find that walking near the water on a regular basis, it's not the best exercise. I could go to the gym and get better exercise. But it is a time for me to just spend, you know, maybe 45 minutes getting prepared for the day. And so I'm not saying that everybody should go take a walk, but I am saying that sometimes we have to take time to release some of the tension. And I'm prepared for the day better because of that walk. Now, another aspect in terms of dealing with stress, I think, is to spend a daily time with God. I'm challenging people to spend maybe just 10 minutes a day. But spend daily time. You know, we all have 10 minutes that we can find. We're going to miss it at times, sure. We don't have to be legalistic, but just start small, but start with something and take that time. And for me, a lot of times it's reading a psalm, it's reading a proverb, bring some wisdom or some of the other types of literature from the scripture into my head. And in that process of taking a walk, you know, spending some time in prayer, that's where I think we have to get away from stress. One last thing, and then I'll let you take it, Roger, but is rest. We've got to find ways to rest. You know, rest heals, rest soothes, and rest gives perspective. And that's not an easy thing to do, especially for some of the type A people who I hang around with. I'm a type A person, but I find that if I will just rest, then it doesn't mean that my problems are going to go away, but now I have the reserve to be able to make that happen, whether it be in my family situation or in terms of at work. So walk, pray, and rest. That's the words for the day.
Well, Deborah Smith Pagay has given us a lot to think about on today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Be with us for the next program. She'll be having conversation about that. Of course, if you like to podcast, you already have that program. If you want to get ahead of the curve here, you can podcast along with us. Go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section. You'll find a podcasting option. Click on the podcast tab, and what it does is it takes you right to our site on iTunes. Then you can start your free subscription and start getting the Homeward program, the Monday through Friday edition, delivered straight to your iPod or other MP3 device. Hey, Jim, as we conclude today's edition of the broadcast, I want to share an email from a listener that we received. Her name is Terry. She has a small group of about four friends. They love to listen to the Homeward broadcast. And what they've started to do is every year around Christmas time, they started doing this a couple of years ago. They're still doing it. They get together, and instead of giving each other gifts, what they do is they take the money they would have spent on that and they make a contribution to Homeward instead. And we really appreciate that. It's very, very creative thinking, very, very out of the box thinking, but it's a great reminder of what wonderful supporters we have here.
Well, that is wonderful. Actually, I haven't read that. I read all the emails and somehow I've missed that.
I've been keeping it from you.
That is the all-time great story.
Yeah,
that is
isn't
a
that
really
nice?
Neat story. I'm really, well, as my kids would say, I'm stoked by that.
Totally.
And I hope that we can continue to do that for the Terrys and her group, and I hope other groups will not just about the money, but right. just that they are listening and that they're talking about it. That's a really neat thing. Well, I do appreciate hearing from you. And if you have never contacted us before, why not today? Drop us a line. Let us know how we are helping you and let us know how we can help you. You know, every Wednesday here at Homeward, our staff prays for whoever sends in a prayer request. So you send in a prayer request and I guarantee you that we will take that prayer request. It's typically done by email and we'll put that in front of somebody on our staff and we'll be in the same studio that we're in right now. We all sit in here and we pray for you and we pray for the other listeners. And I would encourage you to do that at any time. If you need help, you need some information, you need this book, you can go online to homeward.com. Now be sure to join me here again next time when I'll continue my conversation with Deborah Smith-Pagay about learning to control the stress in your life. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward. Now, Roger, I've got to quit bending this paperclip.
That's right.
Because I got to de-stress my life.
That's right.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.